Taco for Buckets is brought to you by Caso Law. Whether your family is navigating a moment of crisis or you're facing criminal charges, they know what you're going through and they're ready to help. They know your love for your Gopher basketball team. So if you're looking for an attorney that will fight for you for parenting time on a game day, look no further. If you've gone so hard at a tailgate that you start speaking Spanish, this bilingual team is ready to answer your call. Caso Law is proudly women-owned. To set up a free consultation, go to casolaw.com/contact. That is casolaw.com. Get in touch today. All right, this is another kind of special edition of Taco for Buckets. It's special in the fact that Ryan James isn't going to be joining us. It's just going to be myself, Luke Buer, here today. And I'm going to be chatting with assistant coach Aaron Katsuma from Gopher Basketball. Thanks for joining, Aaron.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. I think just to get into it, I don't know if you know this, but Ryan says that his kid is sick, but the real reality is that he really wanted to give you a hard time about your jumper based on some of the other coaches. So I just didn't allow that kind of hate to come onto the podcast. I don't think that's very fair.
Well, you know, it's funny. I ran into Ryan before the football game 2 weeks ago and had a conversation with him about Brian, Coach Cooley's comments and remarks. And then I think you guys met with Coach Warner after the fact. But I listened. Yep. I listened to both podcasts, and I have my own response that we can get into a little later.
Okay. Good stuff. So maybe just for Gopher basketball fans, some of them will probably recognize you from your years as a student manager, et cetera. You've been around Gopher basketball for a long time, but they maybe don't know who you are. So can you kind of give an introduction to yourself? Maybe even start from like, hey, I think from what I gathered from your bio, you're from Madison, Wisconsin. You ended up at the University of Minnesota. Can you tell us a little bit, about that and up until you're here now as assistant coach?
Absolutely. So I'd be happy to. I'm from Middleton, Wisconsin, just a suburb right outside of Madison. Played basketball in high school growing up, just fell in love with the game. Unfortunately, a freak accident occurred when I was 13, got hit in the eye with a tennis ball, and now I'm permanently blind in my right eye. So obviously affects depth perception and I'm 5'11", whatever. So I wasn't playing basketball at a high level regardless, but kind of just then, transitioned more into coaching youth basketball. Fell in love with coaching. At the time, my AAU head coach, Dave Shaw, he was a grad assistant with Tubby Smith back at VCU.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I got my connection to the University of Minnesota, specifically the basketball program. And it's funny, I went to school with Coach Ryan's daughters, Marin and Brenna, lived in the same neighborhood. So got to know Coach Ryan at UW-Wisconsin. Fairly well, but just the opportunity to work for a Hall of Fame coach as a student manager, his staff, and just learn and be around that every single day was something that I couldn't pass up. Unfortunately, after my junior year, Coach Smith was let go and Coach Pitino came in. I owe a lot to Coach Pitino. We'll go, talk about that a little later, but
yeah.
Was a student manager my senior year for him, and I'll never forget it. We're at Nebraska on the road, and at dinner, he kind of asked me what my plans were, moving forward, and just had a little conversation. And that night he asked if I'd have interest in being a grad assistant, because at the time we didn't have one. Didn't take very long to think that over. Got back to him, I think, when we got back from that road trip, and then did that for 2 years. And then again, after my second year being a grad assistant, you know, trying to figure out what's next, Coach Pitino went to Mark Coyle and asked to create a position for me full time. Was director of player development here for 1 year, and then Coach Medved gets the job at Drake. Got to know Coach Medved. You know, Coach Johnson was still on staff. That connection. So, you know, end up getting offering the director of basketball operations job with Coach Medved there at Drake. Was there for a cup of coffee, 10 months.
Yeah.
We end up going to Colorado State. Was there for 5 years. Started as director of basketball operations. Transitioned into director of recruiting. And then got a phone call from Coach Pitino at New Mexico about joining his staff there. Was hard for me to turn down, accepted that. Did that for 2 years, and then, you know, was planning on going to Xavier with them when he got that job. About the same time Coach Medved did. Was actually there for about 3 weeks, and then Coach Medved called and offered me the job here, and now we're full circle.
Yeah,
started.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. One thing I like to dig into a little bit is, you know, you see these roles like director of basketball operations, and that, like, for people that maybe aren't aware, like, what is that role? You've done that for a number of years before you got into the assistant coaching role. So what are some of the day-to-day tasks that someone has to do as the director of basketball operations?
I mean, basically you have a hand in all facets of the program, whether that's alumni relations, whether that's being the liaison to different members of the athletic department, putting together, you know, daily calendar, master calendar, just working with the head coach on travel plans, the assistant coach on recruiting. So there's a ton that, you know, budgeting, all of it. So there's a ton that goes into that job, you know, but at the same time, for me at least, being with Coach Medved in those roles, he allowed me to still do some basketball stuff, you know, whether that was just help, you know, watching film or practice. He always allowed me to have a voice on the basketball side of things as well, which can be uncommon at some programs, depending on how you want that role to look. But, you know, he gave me the autonomy to just kind of have a role in all facets of the program when I was in that role.
Okay. So, yeah. So maybe talk about, obviously, you go from Minnesota, so you span both Tubby and Pitino. We probably actually overlapped as students together, but we never ran into each other. I didn't see you in any of the rec games. You're probably a little bit busy with the basketball program. But so what's your connection to Nico initially in getting the start at Drake? Is it just like connections through the different staff people and that, or how does that come about?
Yeah, no, it just really was through Coach Johnson and Coach Thorson's relationship, and Coach Johnson worked with Coach Farouk Manesh, and so really he just made a phone call on my behalf, and I got lucky that, you know, Coach Ritchie, who's now the head coach at Furman, got that job, and so Coach Medved kind of had to start from scratch and put a staff together. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have brought in his Furman staff to Drake, because that's just the type of person he is. And so I got a little bit lucky and just I drove down there one day. It was between me and a couple other guys. And at the end of the day, I think it was just Coach Johnson, Coach Pitino on my behalf, and the relationship that they had with Coach, you know, Coach Medved, obviously, Coach Thorson, Ali, that kind of pushed it over the top.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and so what's it like? I mean, you've gotten to see Mountain West basketball for a number of years now, right? And you've also seen the Big Ten. As someone who's been on the sideline for both, I mean, tell us some of the good and the bad and the ugly and the wonderful about Mountain West basketball.
I would start with the coaching. There are some really, really good coaches in the Mountain West. The environments, I mean, I was fortunate to be a part of a program in New Mexico that has arguably one of the top fan bases in the country. Toe to toe with anybody in college basketball. And so the environments, the coaching, the different styles of basketball that you see within the league. I mean, every night, you know, just like we will in the, what we'll have to do in the Big Ten. I mean, you got to, you can't have an off night or you're going to get, you know, you're going to get beat. So, I would say those are the similarities in terms of this, obviously really good coaches in our league now. And, you know, the travel is the same, you know, you're taking charters everywhere. So in terms of the differences between the leagues, there's not a lot. Maybe the talent's a little bit higher. The athleticism's a little bit different. You know, but in terms of the coachings, the styles, I mean, you're going to see a variety of different things in both leagues. You know, and obviously the environments, whether you're going to Purdue or Viejas, are very similar.
Okay. And one of the things that you'll notice is a lot of Mountain West coaches seemingly have made the transition into the Big Ten. So you probably see some familiar faces, you know, now. I guess one thing that I'm curious about, you know, just talk about your experience going to the NCAA tournament with some of these Mountain West teams. And maybe more importantly, what is it like being one of those teams that often is probably playing somewhat of an upset role, maybe not a favorite, but what's it like being a part of the group and being a part of that NCAA tournament run?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like it. You know what I mean? Just the open practices to just the fan engagement and excitement going into, you know, the preparation of getting to the NCAA tournament. I would say a big difference, you know, obviously when you're a perennial NCAA tournament team everywhere, you know what the distractions are. You know what you're getting into leading into that preparation. For us at Colorado State the first year, we were actually a 5 seed playing Michigan, who was a 12, and they had Hunter Dickinson, and they had a really good team. But it was the first time our guys had been in that environment in terms of just leading up to the game. Whereas those guys, the Hunter Dickinsons, the who was the guard, the he wore 55. Anyways, they had been to multiple tournaments.
Yeah.
So just the focus level and experience, I think, helped them. Now when Coach Medved went the last two times, you know, had obviously had more success, won a game, you know, beat Virginia, and then beat Memphis, you know, this past year. And same thing with us at New Mexico. Like, you know, we went to the tournament, played a really good Clemson team who ended up going to the Elite Eight. But it was the first time our guys had been to the tournament, except for our big kid, Nelly. Everybody else had not, you know, had never experienced it before. So then this past year we go, guys like Donovan Dent, Nelly's now in his third tournament. Mustafa's in his second tournament, True Washington, his second tournament. Guys just, you know, our veteran guys knew what to expect, could focus a little bit more, and just understood what it was. And that's why ultimately, you know, we were able to compete and beat a team like Marquette, who's obviously a really good program, and then have Michigan State on the ropes for, you know, 30 minutes. And so they kind of wore us down. But I think the experience of having guys that have been to the tournament, they understand what it is, was the big takeaway, you know, from those experiences.
Okay. I want to get back to your stint with the Gophers. I mean, you were there a long time from 2010 to basically 2017. Mm-hmm. Is there a game or an experience that sticks out as a highlight for you? That maybe fans can identify with during that long stretch?
I mean, man, there were so many memories. I guess the one that stands out was when, you know, obviously we had a tough year and we beat No. 5 Maryland at home. We beat No. 1 Indiana there in Assembly Hall when they had Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo and Jordy Halls. That one stood out. Purdue when they had Juwan Johnson and Elijah or Etwan Moore, that team, you know, we beat them here in the barn. But really just the barn being packed and during those Big Ten games, those rivalry games, you know, it was the hottest ticket in town. And so just walking into that arena, knowing that you were going to have, 14,000 fans in the building was something that, you don't take for granted. So those are probably a couple of the most memorable experiences, but just every night walking into the sold out barn was something that I'll never forget.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I do remember that knocking off number one, Indiana. That was fun. I think I was just out of being a student at that point. I think technically had a student ticket at the time. Yeah. And this stream of people onto the floor. That was fun.
It's a tough court to rush.
It's kind of dangerous. I have to admit, I've never actually rushed the court. I don't know. It's kind of fun to stand back and see it.
Yeah.
See it for yourself and watch it go crazy. I've also never rushed the field for a football game. I don't know why, but for some reason that's kind of how I take it in. There's some great games. And you bring up that Maryland game. That's interesting. That was a really tough year, but that was the time when you kind of felt like, okay, I think I can see how it's turning around. And you guys probably saw it day in and day out in practice, but you can see like, oh, there's the potential. And then the next year they were, the team was quite good.
So. Yeah. It's a process. And, we had some really good dudes on that team. And so just to see the fruits of their labor and just culminate into that game and just their reactions. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about these dudes. And so to see them just have success and finally, was pretty cool.
Are there players that you still stay in close contact with from your time here or not really?
I mean, we just had Joey at practice the other day. Joey King.
Sure. Yeah.
Speaking of, that game. Austin Hollins, Kendall. I run into Joe, obviously Joe Coleman transferred, but Joe, Andre, Mo Walker, Bakari. I see Elliot Eliason every once in a while. Chris Otto, so Trevor. I mean, so there's still a bunch of guys that over the years I've just stayed in touch. Maverick, he just got engaged. So guys that I was here with, and it's funny, like I lived with Ralph Sampson my freshman year at the semester. So I spent a lot of time in the in Wilkins Hall at the time with them, and then when we moved apartments, like Mav, Austin, Andre, they lived right across the hall from me for 2 years. So those guys probably are the ones I keep in communication with the most, but try to just reach out to as many guys as possible.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. All right, let's talk maybe a little bit more about the team, this team and your time here at Minnesota. We've delved into the past enough. I think people should get a pretty good sense about you. So you come to Minnesota. This is your second, stint with Nico. What's appealing, obviously, aside from the University of Minnesota, which you're an alum of, but what's appealing about working with Nico?
Just who he is. Just I think as people start to get to know us and him better, they'll understand what I mean by that. He's just a top-notch person. And that's something that you can't take for granted. But then the staff too, just I was fortunate to work with Coach Cooley for 2 years at Colorado State. I've worked with Coach Thorson, I've worked with Joe Desiman, Coach Warner. I've never worked with him, but had heard really good things. And then I knew Coach Gates for a while, just seeing him on the recruiting trail. So the staff that he put together, Lucas, Rachel, Drew, and just really good people, no egos, and we are all aligned and want what's best for these guys. And then at the end of the day, like I said earlier, it's the players. I mean, I know it's been said on here, but the character, just the work ethic of these guys, is fun to be around on a daily basis. And, these guys are going to give it their all, every single night. But it's just been, a joy to be around these guys, every single day. And, We'll see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So it was recently announced that there's going to be a maroon and gold scrimmage, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm not asking for like a scouting report per se, but what are some things that fans maybe should be on the lookout for, you know, at that kind of scrimmage, like, you know, whether it's players or, you know, specific, I don't know, just specific observations that could get them prepared if they're going to go and watch that scrimmage. And they should, because it's going to be before the Purdue game. So
I think the thing that fans will see is just the versatility that our guys, you know, that we can have. We have size on the wing. We have interchangeable parts. I think you'll see Coach Medved tinker with different lineups and combinations. I think you'll see just the pace of play in terms of how we're going to play on misses and try to be disruptive defensively. But yeah, I think it's just the versatility and the size on the wing that we'll have, and just some of the defensive personnel that we'll be able to put on the floor, whether that's a Langston Reynolds, a Chauncey Willis, Isaac, BJ, just guys that, you know, can really be disruptive defensively. And then we have a bunch of shot makers, which I think, you know, you'll see some different actions where we can get guys shots on the floor where they're the most effective, whether that's from three, whether that's from the mid post, whether that's different isolations. I think guys will, fans will see that, you know, it's not a one trick pony, that we're going to be pretty diverse in what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I from afar have watched, you know, Nico's team, mostly because of some of the innovative offense that you get to see. And he's adapted a lot of, like, if you're a real basketball nerd, which I sometimes ascribe to, he seems to adapt some of what you see, especially in like Euro ball. If you watch some of that, and how, especially how they space the floor, and then they use their bigs to pass the ball in particular. Mm-hmm. I imagine that we'll be able to see some of that. One of the things that Ryan has noted, and I'm sure he would have asked you about, is like, it's incredible when he's watched some of these players, like how good of passers they are. How do you, and I've asked this too, but like, how do you even quantify that? It's not a thing that is a metric you probably can quantify. So you just have to watch these guys play, and it's more of an observation of the instinct of how well they see the game. Or yeah, just tell us about that. How are you finding such good passers?
Yeah, no, I mean, feel and IQ is a skill. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's, personally, I think it's really hard to teach a guy how to have feel or IQ. I'm a firm believer they either see it or they don't. That's something that we evaluate strongly, you know. And so obviously I know Coach Cooley mentioned it on the podcast here, the daily vitamins, but mm-hmm. we work on that stuff every single day in terms of whether we're, you know, it's outside hand, or, you know, placing it where our shooters can, you know, just in their shot pocket. Like, we put a lot of attention and detail into the detail. And so, as we evaluate, that's something we definitely look for, is just guys who can put a pass on the money, timing, they can get the ball quick out of their hands. You know, do they need to put two hands on the ball to make a pass, or can they just pound dribble and get it out of their hands quickly? You know, little details like that. We definitely try to evaluate when we're watching on film or live at these different events.
Okay. That's awesome. Okay. We probably should address the elephant in the room. There's a few, you know, that are maybe less basketball focused. Well, some basketball focused. You've gotten a lot of shade about your jumper. And mm-hmm. here's what I'll say. In golf, they say that your swing and how it looks doesn't matter. It's the result, right? Yeah. Do you stand by that? Don't criticize the way my jumper looks. Just see the result, or what's your clap back to the hate you're getting?
Yeah, you know, it's not the prettiest thing in the world. The ball goes in the basket. And so you know, I know Coach Chad and Coach Cooley have gone on the record saying that I'm the worst shooter on staff, but anytime, any place they want to compete, I'll be there. I don't run from the smoke. And you know, I feel bad saying this, but Coach Chad can't even get the ball to the rim from the 3-point line. So he's in a different category. And Coach Cooley, like, love him to death, but I know exactly how to get under his skin and what to say in order for him to just crumble. So I have no doubt in my mind that those two guys, at the end of the day, do not want to get into a shooting competition with me. And then Coach Gates, I mean, I'll say Coach Desmond is the best shooter on staff.
Okay.
And Coach Joe is the best shooter on staff. And then I would follow that up with Lucas, who's our director of player development. But those two guys, Coach Chad and Coach Cooley, like, they're not even in the conversation. So I won't waste my breath anymore on those two guys.
All right. Let's talk just a little bit about the culture of the program. One of the things that we see and have talked about is the away game win snacks, right? Talk about that. Like, is that something that, you know, the players really look forward to, and maybe what also would be your go-to snacks?
Yeah. I mean, winning is hard in general. But there's nothing like winning an away game, and so for me, cheddar and sour cream ruffles.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I'm a big cheddar and sour cream ruffles guy. And then probably strawberry sour patches.
Okay. Got it.
Those are probably the two go-tos. And then I know we're only limited to two, but I'll buy myself some sort of beverage. I think probably a Sprite and get a cup of ice.
Sure. So, nice. Oh, with a cup of ice, that's clutch.
Yep. You know, like, again, you know, people, I love Coach Cooley to death. That he's, we spend a lot, but the cereal, come on, man. Like, what are we doing?
Okay. Now that you're back in the Twin Cities, what are some of the things that maybe you missed having been away for a while that you're glad to be back around?
Oh, just the people. There's still a lot of the same people that still work in the department. So the people, you know, I have two sisters that live here. So being able to spend time with them, I've seen them more in the last 4 months that I've lived here than I have in the last eight years I've been gone. So just being able to see them, obviously some of my college friends are still here in town. So, just being able to spend time with them and see them, but really it's just the people and, you know, going to JD Hoyt's and seeing Pat, like just,
yeah.
Those things that, probably in hindsight don't really matter, but matter a whole lot when you're back and get to spend, you know, the time with the people that you care about. So, that's probably the things that I miss the most and cherish being back.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. This was a really fun conversation. Appreciate you joining. Appreciate everyone that listened as well. And thanks for listening, and go Gophers.